My man Tom Morley's here.
Tom Morley's in the house. That's great.
Mr. Morley, how we doing?
Good, mate. Not too bad. Looking forward to tomorrow.
I don't think anybody's ever called me mate on the show. I'm a little excited about that. Tom, Jude's down in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studio as well. Jude Feld.
How are we doing, Jude?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Very well. I was a bit wet this morning, which is a little bit of a concern to me, but it's clearing up here a bit now. In fact, I can see a very small bit of blue sky over there.
Yeah. It's been wet all summer long. It must make you feel like home.
Oh, very funny. I'm not Irish.
That's a good job. Now you're offending our guest, Jude. Thanks a lot. Talk about, we got you for a little while, right? We got some time?
You can have me as long as you want.
Talk about the weather a little bit and what kind of havoc it can wreak on a training schedule and just, from the start of your morning, like you said, getting wet early in the morning all the way through race day.
So, like a day like today's, I'm not a big fan of galloping horses on a sloppy track, but then certain horses need to do a little bit more than others. I'm very fortunate on the back of my barn here at Belmont that we have a polytrack jogging barn. So during the monsoon this morning, most of my horses jogged 2 miles in there, so they didn't have to go out and get wet. I have just come back in from the training track, which is a surface that takes water extremely well, with a view that possibly it'll be okay to breeze tomorrow morning. And I was absolutely delighted with the state of the track is over there. That track has a little bit of an advantage in that it's not raced on, so they can squeeze that track all afternoon without being interrupted by races. And generally, it's a track that recovers quicker from a heavy rainstorm like today. But it's been tough this summer; it really has. We've had a lot of horses that have had to be scratched because they've come off the turf. It's been unseasonably wet everywhere up and down the East Coast. We obviously have horses at Laurel as well, and we've lost a lot of racing there due to the weather. But as my uncle always said, you can have the horse as fit as you possibly want in the right race, and there's nothing you can do about the state of the ground. So it's, obviously we'd rather have a fast track to train on every morning, etc., but we do what we need to do.
With your stable, you have a lot of turf horses.
Yeah.
What would you say, it's split down the middle?
Yeah, we're probably about 50-50 dirt and turf. I try to stay away from... I'm not really sure why we get sent the number of turf horses we do, or whether it's just something that people look at that we do particularly well with. But certainly in the claiming ranks, I try and stay away from turf horses as much as I can, purely because of the numbers. We've plenty of turf horses in the barn already. I try and look to claim dirt horses to keep the numbers at a acceptable level, that we've always got some action going on.
You do a great job with dirt horses, and you didn't grow up with that. Talk about the difference and how you go about training the dirt horses.
That's a great question, Jude, because there is an enormous difference. Certainly, dirt horses require a far more significant level of fitness, off the bench, to be able to compete. Even sprint races on the dirt are tougher to get home to the wire than they are on the turf. I'm perfectly used to running horses who are coming off a layoff or the winter off 4, 5, 6 breezes on the turf, but I find that those horses need to go on a breeze 8 or 10 times before they're ready for a dirt race. And if you're trying to get them ready to go a mile or further on the dirt, they generally need another month of training before they're fit enough. And they still, my horses generally need a run when they've never run before. But I feel we do a very good job of getting horses ready who have a racing foundation in them from previous campaigns, of getting them ready so that they're ready to fire first time off the bench. And we've done pretty well with those horses.
Carrick. Good old Carrick. I guess he'd be considered the big horse in the barn right now. La Moneda, another filly. Those are the two big horses right now, both turf horses. I happen to think the accent has a lot to do with it, but that's just me. Again, you're dealing with the weather with both of them. Luckily, it certainly seems like Carrick doesn't mind a little given the ground.
Yeah, the turf was listed as good, both his wins here at Belmont, and it was listed as good down at Arlington, and they've had similar weather to us through the summer. There was no way that was a typical fast Arlington turf. When they ran the Secretariat, I did notice that by the time they ran the Arlington Million, they'd upgraded it to firm, which was quite interesting. That was within an hour, so it was clearly a drying turf course. But my assistant Michelle was down there with Carrick for the race, and did say that he came back in with a good amount of turf on him and up his legs. So it definitely wasn't a very fast surface. When we went to Delaware for the Kent, it was very, very, very firm that day down there, and it was a track that kind of favoured speed. But he also appeared to handle that very well, absolutely fine. I mean, he got a very, very rough trip down there, but he still finished extremely well. So firm turf holds no fears for me with this horse, but I do think that he probably appreciates just a little bit of give in the ground.
Let's start from day one, because you mentioned the first two races here at Belmont Park. You ran him for $40,000.
Yeah.
First time out, in for the tag, first time out. Was it just simply the fact that he fooled you a little bit in the morning?
No, I don't think he ever fooled me, but with these three-year-olds, you get to see, and we've been very fortunate that I've been able to show people the physical development that he's made from May until today. This horse is probably the guts of 150 pounds heavier now than he was. He's probably 2 inches taller than he was. He's probably 2 inches longer as well. He is a colossal animal now. At the time, he was a little bit like having a 16-year-old basketball player on the team. You're like, you know, this kid can play, but he's like watching Joe Migliore on the court. I'm sure he'll be texting me in a second about that. But, you know, he certainly had shown a level of ability that I had a conversation with Jerry Crawford about 3 weeks beforehand when I felt the horse was nearing fitness. I said, look, we can go to Monmouth, we can go to Laurel, and we can run in a maiden special weight, and we're probably going to be good enough to get the job done there. Or we can roll the dice, we can run him for 40 in New York. But at that point, I was saying to Jerry, anything that he does this year would be a big plus. I said he really should be a better four-year-old. The frame of the horse that he is, a big, weak, gangly baby still, basically. And you have to remember that this horse didn't even come into training as a two-year-old. He came into me at the beginning of this year.
I don't think I knew that.
He remained at Ellery with Frank Smith throughout his two-year-old career, and he only came in to us in early spring here at Belmont. So he's come an awfully long way since he's come in, and after the first race, and I don't want to say he surprised me that he could win first time, but he surprised me that he could win in the authoritative fashion that he did. And Javier came back in and he said, Tom, this horse is going to be a nice horse. And I thought that was a very, you know, we'd also then... And I don't want to sound sneaky about this. I don't want to sound like I was trying to buy a condition. I was running him in a race that he could win off what he'd shown me in the mornings. And he did that. But it did then afford us the opportunity to run in the starter allowance on his next start. You're not taking on any other than competition in New York, which is extremely tough. And you basically have to be a stakes caliber horse to win an A other than here. So we were lucky that he didn't get claimed. Did I think he was going to get claimed? When the PPs for the race came out, I realized there were going to be at least six horses in there that other people were going to be looking at, and I felt very comfortable that we wouldn't be a horse that we were going to be, that people were going to be looking at to claim. So, yeah, we ran him for 40, we got the job done, and it bought us a condition to let the horse progress as the year went on.
And as it turned out, that starter allowance race was pretty tough because the second and third place finishers came back to win. So
yeah, and the horse who ran second in the maiden 40 as well was trained by Christoph, and Christoph has spent the last 6 months giving me absolute hell because he finished second and got claimed, and his owners text him 15 minutes after the Secretariat saying, how on earth did you manage to find a maiden claim where we got beat by a grade one winner and lost our horse? So,
nice job, right?
The form of the starter worked out very well. Shug's horse came back and won at Saratoga. And I think that this track here at Belmont, Carrick is a very, very big horse, as I said. And this turf here just allows him to get into a lovely rhythm. And we've seen him get into a really good rhythm three times, and all three times he's won. And the one race where he didn't get into that rhythm at Delaware, where he's stuck down inside and he got a bit rank and keen and he never got into a rhythm, he got beat. He didn't run a bad race at all. To be honest, at the quarter pole, I thought we were going to be hard pushed not to finish in the last three. So to see him knuckle down in the lane at Delaware like he did and get home and finish third was very encouraging. And Johnny learned an awful lot about him that day, as did I, as did Jerry Crawford. And I think that probably within 15 minutes of the end of the Kent, we'd all come to the conclusion that we we shouldn't shirk the idea of going to the Secretariat, knowing we would be a big price, but we definitely felt that we had a horse capable of going there.
Soon after the Kent, I ran into your, no offense, your better half.
Yeah, much better.
there's no 50-50 there. It's like 85-15.
Yeah.
Maggie's the best. Of course, we're talking about Matt Liebel from Dale Morley. And Maggie, who will be on the Equine Forum tomorrow morning with Jude and Mike, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Sirius 219 XM201. It was a weird... He ran strangely in the Kent. I couldn't tell. And the comment probably... You know, it looked like he was trying to get out, but it didn't look like he was trying to get out. And it was the first time Johnny rode him. And... He just looked like he fought him a little bit. It was almost like the horse knew Johnny. It was Johnny's first time, and it was almost like he resented it a little bit.
If you watch back the two replays when Javier rode him here, he let the horse break, and he just put his hand down in his neck, and he let the horse get into a rhythm. So I want to take all the blame on my shoulders for Delaware and what happened there, because I watched the turf racing all afternoon there with Jerry. And all afternoon, the races have been won by horses on the lead and on the rail. And we were drawn on the rail. And Jerry and I said to Johnny in the paddock, please try and get him to break out of the gate. And if you can get the lead, don't be afraid to take it. And he just missed the break by half a step. And Johnny squeezed on him. And that was it. He then got a bump from the outside. And it just set the horse off a little bit. And Johnny, when you say you thought he was just trying to get out a little bit, Johnny was trying to get him out into fresh air at that point. He was trying to get the horse to relax because he basically went around the elbow, around the first turn, fighting like hell. And actually, when he got him out off the rail on the backside and he got him away from the other horses, he did settle into a nice rhythm for him then. It did mean that he then had to go extremely wide around the second turn. And at that point, I thought the horse had pulled very hard for 5 furlongs and then got a wide trip around the second turn. And honestly, I thought we were done at that point. You know, it's very difficult for a horse to then pick up in the fashion that he did and finish with the way he did in the Kent. So I don't think it was anything to do with the horse, and I don't think it was anything to do with Johnny. I think it was more circumstances of the draw, the way the track had been playing, and the decision that Jerry and I had made before we went into the paddock of what we would tell Johnny. Johnny came back in and was... I don't want to say furious with the horse, but he just wasn't happy with the way the horse had handled himself in the early part of the race. But he was a very, very inexperienced horse at this point. Mm-hmm. First time in a big field, first time stuck down inside where he'd been asked to do a bit of running and then asked to come back to Johnny. We made a small equipment change going to Arlington. We took a regular bit off him. We put a ring bit on him just to give Johnny a little bit more help with control over him. And then again at Arlington, you know, they went a nice clip in front of him, and Johnny got to just put his hands down coming out of the gate and let the horse get into that lovely rhythm that he has.
Talking with Tom Morley, he has Carrick tomorrow, live long shot look in the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. When and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf on Saturday, November 3rd at Churchill Downs. Jude?
Yeah, yesterday I called him the poor man's Justify because he's done an inordinate amount of work in a very short period of time. They're very similar, like meteoric rise to stardom. How did you convince Johnny to ride him back a 38-1 shot in the Secretariat?
So Johnny came back in at Delaware, and he was a bit flustered by the way the horse had. He did say the horse ran up on heels a couple of times and clipped heels, etc. And that's not a nice place for a horse to put a jockey in a race. But once he'd weighed in, he came back over to Jerry and I, and he said, listen, today has not gone according to plan. He said, I can tell you one thing, though, that is a serious racehorse. So when I rang Angel and said, look, we're going to be 25-1 in the Secretariat, there wasn't a moment of hesitation. Angel said to me that he felt that the horse was probably their biggest shot of winning on that big day down there, and that absolutely he'd like to ride him back. And I think probably the fact that Johnny has and Angel have, and I want to thank Todd a little bit as well, because I believe they've had to work quite hard on getting off High Happy to remain on Carrick tomorrow. And so, you know, it is very important that this horse has a rider who knows him.
High Happy rumored to possibly be coming out of there tomorrow as well. So I'm sure Johnny and Angel, especially Angel, They're kind of happy about that.
I'll be intrigued to see if everyone runs tomorrow. It's going to be very. I don't care what they decide to label the turf. It's going to be soft.
That's
tomorrow.
It. Yeah, I agree.
There's going to be no other way of dressing this up. I couldn't care less whether there's a hurricane tonight and it's 80 degrees and sunshine tomorrow. We've had an enormous amount of rain here at Belmont. It is going to be soft turf out there. And some of these horses have not run well in soft conditions before. Tom Alvatrani's horse didn't. Sadler's Joy didn't run well on it in the Sword Dancer. High Happy has run well on it down here in the Manhattan, but then has run badly on it. And I think that Todd is leaning towards the fact that he didn't like Saratoga as much as he likes Belmont. But maybe there's a question mark about the ground for that horse too. The horse from Europe, who appears to be the natural front runner tomorrow, he's a horse who I've watched all his replays. He seems most comfortable when he bounces out and he goes to the lead. But he's also done all his best running on good to firm ground in Europe. So that might be a little bit of an inconvenience for him as well.
Three-year-old against older. It's a big, big step up. A lot of guys and gals will not even entertain this. They'll run in the Hill Prince next week. $500,000 waiting for you. You could have certainly taken the easy way out. Are you thinking Breeders' Cup with Carrick at this point if he runs well tomorrow?
If he wins tomorrow, then he'll go to the Breeders' Cup. If he wins tomorrow, he pretty much stamps himself as the best turf horse in North America for me, certainly at a mile and a half. And there were a number of things that we discussed about this. I mean, at the end of the day, he is a Grade 1 winner already. The Hill Prince is a Grade 2. It is against straight three-year-olds, but it's also a mile and an eighth, and I'm not sure that that's far enough for this horse in this caliber of race. I think he really, really genuinely wants a trip of ground. When you watch the Arlington race, he just got by Analyzer at the end, but then he galloped out miles in front of the field. I think that the mile and a half really will be a huge... It might actually help this horse move up again. And the Hill Prince, we would have a Grade 1 penalty. We'd have to give weight away to the other three-year-olds, and in here we're a three-year-old receiving weight from the older horses. And, look, I don't want to sound cocky, I don't want to sound bullish, but these older horses keep beating each other. It's not like there's a standout amongst them.
No, there's not.
There are a bunch of older horses, and, look at the Manhattan. Six of them finish within a length of each other. There's no horse in here that says, I am a genuine Grade 1 caliber horse and the rest of you aren't. So we're unexposed. We receive £5 from the field, which, if as a European, I'm a huge believer in weight, especially over these longer trips. And at home, we would equate that to basically being given a seven-length advantage by these horses. £5 going a mile and a half should theoretically mean that we have a little bit of an advantage when it comes to the end of the race. And yes, his buyer at Arlington was something that caused a lot of consternation amongst other people. But to be perfectly honest, I don't really put a lot of weight behind their numbers. I am a big Raggers and Sheep number guy. He ran a 2.5 points faster than Robert Bruce did at Arlington. He ran a second and a quarter faster than that horse did in the Arlington Million. And we get £5. So if we're going to be good enough, we're going to be good enough. There's only one way to find out, though.
You keep talking about this weight. You're going to give me a complex soon. Do you think Robert Bruce is the main competition tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, look, his form since he's got to the U.S. has been very solid. He comes an extremely... Chad does a tremendous job with these horses. He's got an unbelievable amount of firepower to test them against each other, to rank them against each other. He knows what... I think that they are probably more worried about two things than my horse, and that'll be the ground and the pace. Robert Bruce needs some pace to run at. He's going to be closing from behind. I think that probably the European horse will go. Ryan will send him to the front, but Ryan's an extremely, extremely good jockey who will probably then try and slow it down a little bit.
Sure.
Especially in these softer conditions. And a horse, he's riding a horse who's never proved himself in group caliber races in Europe, so he's probably sitting there legitimately thinking, I'm on a front-end horse who's 20-1. The way for me to pick up a piece of this is to make sure that we go steady and pick it up and pick it up and pick it up from the half-mile pole home. I would say I will probably be sat second or third tomorrow.
Early running,
would be... the way that I would envisage that we will be going about the race tomorrow. My biggest concern isn't the opposition. My biggest concern is how he'll handle soft turf. If he's good enough, If he's good enough on good ground, then I would have given him a huge shot tomorrow, but we do have a massive unknown, and that's the ground tomorrow.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you for a good chunk of time today. Best of luck. Well, before we let you go, how's Laminada doing?
Very good. She's going to work. If the track's good, she'll be working tomorrow. Obviously, she was extremely impressive in the Yaddo on a track that favored speed, and her and 55 just knuckled it down in the lane the whole way down. There was a heck of a horse race to watch. Nice to see 55 come back out this weekend and pulverize the New York Red Fillies in the stake here. And we will point tentatively to the weekend towards the end of October, where she will either run in the Athenia or she will run in the New York Red Stake the following day.
All right. Mr. Morley, thank you very, very much for today.
Thank you very much for having me on, guys.